this morning. The title is a question, Christian or Disciple. That's a question that we'll be asking. I want you to ask yourself, are you a Christian or a disciple? I'm going to talk a little bit about that, is what the theme of this sermon is. We just started this new sermon series a couple weeks ago where we're looking at the life and ministry of Jesus. We are primarily using the book of Luke, though for the next couple weeks we're going to be in John because John has some stuff that Luke doesn't have. 2 weeks ago, as we kind of started this journey, we looked at Jesus' final preparations for his ministry. And so we looked at his baptism and the 40 days of fasting and then temptation to follow in the wilderness. And today we're going to look at now how his ministry began. So that was the preparation. Now here's the beginning. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three out of the four Gospels, skip this part that we're going to be seeing today. They skip this. They go from Jesus' testing in the wilderness up to his first major ministry tour in Galilee. But there are a few weeks in between that those three skip, and a lot of stuff happens in those few weeks. And those details are only found in the first four chapters of the Gospel of John. And so normally I'm going to be preaching from Luke, but for probably three Sundays I'm going to be in John looking at what happens in kind of these beginnings of Jesus' ministry. I don't want to miss these things. They're important things. And so so that's where we're going to be today, John chapter 1. You can turn there. We are going to get our first introduction to some of Jesus' disciples this morning. I think it's helpful to kind of work through things and in a chronological order. This is the first time we see five of Jesus' disciples. And a few of the questions that I want us to be asking ourselves as we begin are these. What is a disciple? Okay, what is a disciple? Am I a disciple? Is a disciple the same thing as being a Christian? What's the difference? And is that difference important? All right, so that gives you a general idea of some of the things where we're going to go, some of the things I want us to be thinking about as we get started this morning. The primary goal and mission that we have as a church is to make disciples. You'll see that in our mission statement. You'll see that on our banners that we have up front. We have been called by Christ to make disciples, and we want everyone that's part of East Lincoln to be in the process of growing as a disciple of Jesus and engaging in that mission of us, not just the pastors and church leaders, but everyone in the church family be involved in making disciples. And so being a disciple is very important. But what does that mean? And is that different than being a Christian? And so I want to, this morning, point out a distinction as we get started. And to do that, I'm going to ask for kind of a show of hands here. How many of you grew up in some kind of Christian family or Christian home? So think about that. You can keep your hands raised, kind of look around. So it doesn't matter what kind of church you went to. It could be Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, Pentecostal, whatever. Christian background, almost everybody. I mean, it's a very high percentage, which is very common, not surprising. You can put your hands down if you haven't done that. For those of you who grew up in some kind of Christian home, it's very common for people to continue to follow some of the same traditions that we grew up with. Okay, you grew up in a Christian home, that's all you kind of knew. You had traditions, you didn't even know there were traditions. It's just what we did in our homes growing up. And so some of those most basic ones are believing in God, believing in the Bible, that the Bible is the Word of God, and going to church are some of the most basic traditions that if you grew up in a Christian home, you kind of just were brought up in. Those traditions become part of our lives and part of our identity because that's what we grew up with, that's what our family does. Those things are comfortable. It's kind of within our comfort zone. They're important. We like those things. We like those traditions and basic beliefs. And for a lot of people, That's what it means to be a Christian. And I want us to identify that as kind of a traditional or a cultural Christianity. Again, it doesn't matter what your background was, Catholic, Lutheran, Pentecostal, whatever. Traditional or cultural Christianity, that we understand that's what we look at, we think of as, well, I'm a Christian, okay? That's the way I want to look at being a Christian this morning. Part of our lifestyles and practices, and if you do those things, you're a Christian. That's your religion. So you're not Hindu or Buddhist or Muslim, or atheist or pagan or whatever. You're a Christian, all right? But are you a disciple of Jesus? And is there a difference? And I'll add, did Jesus call people to be Christians, or did he call people to be disciples? Okay, that's where we're going this morning. So there's Christian that I've kind of described. That's the way I want us to look at it. You don't have to look at it that way, but I'm saying for the, you know what I'm talking about, like cultural, traditional Christianity. That's how we're looking at it this morning. Last week, we got the first look at Jesus as an adult, okay? The first recorded information about Jesus as an adult we saw last week. Today, we're going to get our first look at some of his disciples. And I want us to look at their examples so that we can see some of the characteristics that they had, characteristics of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And I want us to see how it's different than what I just described about being a Christian. And then I want us to try to look at our lives and determine if we're just Christians or disciples and where we should go from there, right? That's where we're going. So after being tempted in the wilderness a couple weeks ago, first sermon, if you were here, we saw that. Jesus, after he was tempted in the wilderness, it says that he began his ministry by going back to the Jordan River where he had been baptized before going into the wilderness. He goes back to the Jordan River where John the Baptist was continuing to preach and baptize people during those 40 days that Jesus was in the wilderness. Jesus goes back, and that's where we are going to pick things up today. So we're going to start in John chapter 1, verse 29. We're going to work through the end of chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2. So let's do the first five or six verses here. John 1, 29 through 34. Here's what it says. The next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him. So this is the first time anyone sees Jesus coming out of the wilderness. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water." This is John's purpose. Why am I doing what I'm doing? "That he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness," John the Baptist, "I saw the Spirit." So now he's describing what happened during Jesus' baptism. "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Okay, so this is what John the Baptist is saying when he sees Jesus come out of the wilderness. This is a huge deal to John. I mean, he is passionate, he is zealous for this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And so when he saw him, he declared these things to the people that were gathered around him. You can kind of picture, I don't know exactly what it looked like, but John is there, there's people around him, he's doing his preaching and baptizing in the Jordan, and when Jesus shows up again, he points all the attention to him and declares who this man is. Just a powerful declaration of who Jesus is to John's disciples and the people that were with John. And the next few verses now show us who two of those people were that were with John. This is in verses 35 through 37. So the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. So the first day, I guess, Jesus shows up. John makes this declaration. Now we're at the next day. He's standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus. So Jesus comes again as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. So we know that one of these disciples was Andrew, and we'll get to these verses you see later on. He's specifically named as Andrew. The other was probably John, who was writing this gospel that we're reading. So Andrew, probably John. This is the first time that we see the term disciple used. You know, we use that word all the time, but I was like, well, we're familiar with it, but what does it actually mean? So I looked up. When John wrote the term disciple in the Greek language, the definition of that means student or pupil, all right? So that's what he had in mind, and as you look through the New Testament, when they're talking about a disciple, they mean a student or a pupil. So Andrew and John first were students of John the Baptist. They were John's disciples. That's what it meant to be a disciple. And I want to make a few more observations in what we just read here. Okay, later on we're going to see that neither of these two disciples were from that area where John was baptizing people. They weren't from there. They were actually from several miles north of there in a region called Galilee, and that was their home. So they weren't from there, but they were there, and they weren't professional students, but they were students and pupils of John at that point. But they weren't professionals. So John the Baptist didn't have a synagogue of John that he, you know, people would come in and join. He didn't have a seminary that they joined. They weren't professional students. They were actually fishermen, which we'll see. They were fishermen from Galilee who worked with their families on the Sea of Galilee in order to make a living. Okay? But these two guys are far away from home where they're with John along the Jordan River. And so for them to be his disciples, if you think what that meant for them, meant that they had taken a break from their regular lives. They had left Galilee and fishing, and they went to go where John was and learn from him. Assumption, or I guess deduction, is they were intrigued by what they heard John saying or had heard of John, and so they left where they were from and they went to pursue that interest that they had and devote themselves to it. All right, they saw it as, this is important, we need to go, we need to be with this man, and they saw that John was somebody who they should and could learn from. All right. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of what's going on here. The other observation that I want to make is that even though they were disciples of John, when Jesus showed up, they actually left John immediately to follow Jesus. And so there, my deduction is that John had been, and you can, it's, I mean, you can see it all over in what John is telling people and telling his disciples, is that it's not about me. It's about the one who's coming after me, and I'm just here to let you know he's coming, okay? And so John had been teaching them that ultimately they're looking for Jesus, and when he shows up, people should follow him. Even John's disciples should leave him and go follow Jesus, and so that's what happened. When Jesus came after being tested in the wilderness and John saw him and made that declaration, these two disciples left John and went to be with Jesus. And that's very important that we're going to come back to later in our understanding of being disciples of Jesus, okay? So those are some observations in these first, this first view of Jesus, or of the disciples. And now I want to continue in verses 38 and 39. Jesus turned, okay, so these two leave John, and they start following Jesus. Now it says, Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So you can see that these disciples, after John said, the Lamb of God, and they went, they didn't just go and spend like, you know, say, hey, you know, wanted to meet you and go out for coffee for an hour and then go back. Like they left and they went and they stayed with him. They wanted to know where he was staying. They hung out with him. They stayed the evening. And then as they're getting to know Jesus, one of them, Andrew, got excited, and so he went and he found his brother to tell him about what was going on. And this is the first time that our first introduction to Peter. Okay, we all know about Peter. This is the first time you see Peter in the Gospels, John 1, 40 through 42. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. And so you can see in his excitement, in Andrew's excitement about what about Jesus after spending some time with him, his response was to reach out to his brother. "I got to tell Peter. I got to go find Peter and tell him what's going on." And he invited Peter to come and meet Jesus. So obviously Peter was in that area as well, even though he too was from Galilee. Peter was down there, perhaps accompanying his brother Andrew, or perhaps he was checking out what was going on with John the Baptist. And when Andrew met Jesus and spent time with him, he wanted to go get him and include him so that he too could meet Jesus and be part of what was happening. Andrew was very excited, and he wanted Peter, his brother, to get in on what was happening. Okay, that's the first time, this is the first time that Jesus met these three disciples. Sometimes if you read in the other gospel accounts, they skip all this part, and then you get to where Jesus shows up and they catch all these fish and he says, "Come follow me," and they left their nets and followed him, and you're like, what? Like, that seems drastic. Well, they had met Jesus before, okay, and this describes it. They knew who he was, and there's quite a bit more going on that we'll see some of it this morning, all right? This is the first time that Peter, Andrew, and John met Jesus, and they spent time with him. They spent the day with him. Now we get to the next day. So this is kind of the third day. John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Now we're introduced to two more of Jesus' disciples. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, okay? So that's where Jesus was from. That's where Peter and Andrew were from. And so Jesus decides now he's going to go back to Galilee. He found Philip, new disciple, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip too was from there. Philip found Nathanael, another guy, this is number 5 disciple, and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So this is the first interactions Jesus has with Philip and Nathanael. And there are similar things happen here as what happened with Andrew and Peter. Philip was in that area, even though he was from Galilee, and he was probably checking out John the Baptist like a lot of people were doing. And when Jesus invited Philip to follow him and return to Galilee, he was all in, and he went and found Nathanael, kind of like Andrew went and found Peter, so that Nathanael could be part of it too. And so now you have these first five disciples who had met Jesus, and they had joined together with Jesus on his way now back up to Galilee. So they're leaving that area, they're going up to Galilee. You've got Jesus and these five disciples, Andrew, his brother Peter, John, who wrote this book, and then Philip and Nathaniel, who I think were probably friends based on the fact that Philip reached out to Nathaniel. The last thing I want us to see this morning before we talk about the implications for our lives is what happened the day after they arrived in Galilee, and we see that at the beginning of John chapter 2. This is the wedding in Cana. So I want to read this, verses 1 through 12, this story about what happened that next day. On the third day, so this is only four, this is kind of the third day after John declared who Jesus was, so we're seeing about 4 days in this sermon. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the house of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. So in this sermon, I'm focusing mainly on the experiences of the disciples, and I want to think through that and again in this part of the story. Here they witnessed Jesus' first miracle. He did something beyond the realm of natural possibility. So this is a supernatural sign. It's not like Jesus added stuff to the water. It just became wine. And you'll notice their response in verse 11. After seeing this, it says they believed in him. And disciple, believed in, these are common, familiar words. And I was like, well, what does that actually mean? Like, let me look that up. So I looked it up, and that meant that they were persuaded and confident is the definition. They were persuaded and confident, and in this context, it had to do with Jesus being the Messiah. So they see this miracle now, the first miracle, and they're persuaded and confident. They believed in him, persuaded, confident that Jesus is the Messiah. And after spending time with him and seeing this miracle, they believed in him. As you can see then in the last verse in verse 12, after that they went on with him to Capernaum, which was down the hill, but kind of to the north, I think to the northeast, if I'm remembering that correctly. Which is a city on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and they spent a few more days together up there. Okay, so you see this piece of the journey with Jesus' disciples, these very beginning of Jesus' ministry, where he's kind of gathering these first five of Jesus' disciples, and we see in these verses what that even meant. What did it mean to be a disciple? Well, these were disciples. This is the first time that term's used. This is what the disciple John understood it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. This isn't an exhaustive thing, certainly, but this gives us some characteristics of what actually a disciple is. And I want us to think now about what are the differences between what we've just seen and what I described at the beginning of the sermon about what it means to be a Christian. You got traditional, cultural Christianity. Now you've got disciples that we've just seen. What's the difference? So in these men who were called disciples, there was first of all a valuing and an interest of the things of God. There's a reason they left Galilee to go down to be where John the Baptist was. They were willing to devote themselves to pursuing the things of God. They were interested. They were into it. They were wanting to know what's going on. They were willing to be a student, to make it a priority, to take time away actually from regular activities in order to spend time with John and then Jesus. It wasn't just a weekly tradition of going to church. There was desire and willingness to spend time with Jesus, to be a student. There was also a clear pursuit of Jesus as the ultimate goal rather than just listening to a good preacher. So John the Baptist would have been very fun to listen to. Very entertaining. Like, this guy was crazy. He comes out of the wilderness and he is laying into the Pharisees, and I imagine people are like, yeah! You know, like, very interesting. The hottest celebrity preacher there, okay? He's different, vibrant, cutting edge, drawing huge crowds of people, and yet when Jesus came, what did he do? He pointed people to him. And his disciples left him and went to follow Jesus. So as I think about, okay, that's what a disciple does. It follows the intriguing, a disciple is willing to, it isn't just about hearing good sermons and listening to a good preacher. It goes beyond that to actually being a student and a follower of Jesus, not John the Baptist or John with some other last name in our culture today or whoever. Jesus. Okay, a Christian might enjoy listening to a good preacher on Sunday, but a disciple wants to go beyond that to actually know Jesus. They're a student of Jesus, not just a listener of good sermons. Okay, another thing that we see in these disciples is this desire to walk together with others in seeking Christ and growing in him. When they found out about Jesus, the first thing that Andrew and Nathaniel did was like, I got to tell some, you know, I got to go get Peter. I got to go get Nathaniel. They didn't observe from a distance and keep a private faith. There was togetherness and community. It was a group of Christ followers that were learning and growing together. It wasn't about a weekly routine of going to church for an hour on Sunday without any other interaction with fellow believers the rest of the week. And then finally, in these disciples, we see a faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Other declarations that John made was that he was the Son of God and the Lamb of God. They believed that. There was a faith in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Christians will have faith in Jesus as well. In fact, this we really highlight in Christians. You have to believe in Jesus. You have to have faith, right? Like, this is a big one for Christians. A disciple is one who has faith, but that faith also leads to all these other things, a growing and a deepening relationship with Christ along with other believers. And so you can see a difference here. There's a difference between the traditional, cultural Christian that we are very familiar with in America and in Amory, Wisconsin, and a disciple of Jesus. What are you? Are you a Christian or are you a disciple? Okay. Jesus never called anyone to be a Christian. He never called anyone to be a Christian the way that I'm describing it this morning. They didn't even use the term Christian until Jesus was long ascended into heaven. Jesus never called anyone to be a Christian, but he did call everyone that he called. He called them to be disciples. And the things that we've seen today are the things that we should be seeking to emulate in our lives as well. Okay? You can hear what I'm saying is, if you want to follow Jesus, it's not enough to be a Christian. It's got to go beyond that to being a disciple. There's books written about this. Not a Fan is one book, you know, Kyle Eidelman. There's fans and there's followers. And as you actually look at what Jesus says, he's not looking for fans. He's not calling fans, he's calling followers. This is exactly where I'm getting to this morning. We need to have faith in Christ, but it needs to go way beyond that. We also need to devote ourselves to being students of Jesus. Are you a student of Jesus? Not just practice the tradition of going to church. We need to make it our goal to seek Jesus himself, to know him deeply, and not stop short by just listening to a good preacher. Okay? And that goes for, you know, whether it's here on Sunday mornings, it shouldn't stop with, oh, the pastor had a good sermon this morning. It needs to go beyond that to actually being a student of Jesus. And it needs to go beyond us. We shouldn't be disciples of our favorite preachers online or our favorite authors. It needs to go beyond that. We need to also do this with one another and not be isolated from Christian community. So there's a whole bunch of things for us here this morning. Maybe you can see that you've been more like a Christian and not a disciple. And so what is Jesus calling you to do today? It starts by answering his call to follow him like those disciples did and become one of his disciples, going beyond just the Christian traditions and start following Jesus. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16, 24 and 25, he says this, if anyone would come after me, so if you want to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so he doesn't beat around the bush, or he doesn't sugarcoat what it means to be a disciple. He says, listen, it's going to be hard. The life of a disciple isn't easy. It requires us to die to ourselves and walk in his ways rather than our ways. But whoever walks with him will find true life, both now and forever. You'll find life. And so the first step for all of us is recognizing, I think, the difference in our context between being a Christian and being a disciple and choosing what are you going to be? Am I going to be remain as a Christian, or am I going to be a disciple? After that, then, it's an ongoing process of growth. And the primary reason that East Lincoln Alliance Church is here is to help you grow as a disciple. We want to come alongside you and encourage you right where you're at. No disciple, these disciples were just so imperfect. And you see that. I appreciate that through the Gospels. You see these guys are arguing and fighting and they're, you know, they got all kinds of issues, right? Like, you don't have to be perfect, but it's a process of growing as a disciple. And so we want to come alongside you wherever you're at, beginning, middle, maturity, wherever. We have ministries and resources to help you keep moving forward. And so I'll just make some suggestions. Maybe for some of you, the next step is getting into the habit of daily devotions. Maybe you haven't gotten into a practice of being a student of Jesus, and so you need to get into a practice of daily studying Jesus or sitting with Jesus to learn from him, daily devotions. In the front lobby, we have a bookstore that we've kind of redone that has Bibles, if you need one to take. We've got daily the Bible reading plans, if you want to read through the Bible. We've got devotional books that we're always going to keep replenishing that we've decided are just free. So if you need a devotional book, the ones out there right now are a year-long devotional. We'll keep putting more devotionals out there. Grab one if you need one. We've got small groups. We had a couple highlights this morning of different small groups and what they're doing. We've got several small groups that can help you get connected in Christian community so that you can grow with fellow believers. And so those are just some of the first steps. If you haven't taken those steps, I just encourage you. What is the Lord prompting you to do today to shift from traditional Christian to follower of Jesus, disciple of Jesus? I urge you to follow his leading in your life today. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for being one who we can follow, one who is worthy. You are God. You came as a man, took on flesh to become like us. You lived a perfect life of sinless perfection, and you died on the cross to save us from our sins. You are worthy for us to follow. And you have called us to follow you. And I pray that you would compel us in our hearts by your Spirit to be followers of yours. To not just look at Christianity as a tradition and going to church and believing in God and believing in the Bible, but to step into discipleship, step into growth and pursuit of you. I pray that you would empower us by your Spirit to take those steps. I pray that you would convict our hearts and move us closer toward you so that we will become like these students, these disciples who began following you. In Jesus' name, amen.